You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg. And because it's that time of week, it's time to talk with Sue Balcom.
Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine.
Sue Balcom joins us once a week from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm, to talk about food. And this is a great time of year to talk about squash and pumpkins and where they've been all summer.
It's so funny, too. I don't know what it was. You know, we increased their garden twofold. And so early in the spring, I'm planting potatoes, and then I'm planting cabbage, put in some carrots. I had this great big space left in my garden, so I started filling that in with pumpkin and squash seeds. And I don't know what I was thinking, because I'm like, oh, there's some bare ground over there. Plunk down another plant. Oh, there's some bare ground over there. Plunk in another seed. We couldn't walk through our garden. We couldn't walk through our garden all summer long. The leaves were enormous, and it went out. It spread out around the outside of the garden where we're supposed to be mowing down the grass. So we lost our easement between the garden and the fence, and with all this urban sprawl, you know. So, oh my gosh. So after the frost, and of course we had a hard freeze early in September. That was like a shocker to us farmer market people. We're like scurrying one day to try and harvest as much stuff as we possibly can. But then the joy of this all is those leaves died. And I'm like, oh, look at the pumpkins. Look at the squash. I had no idea what was going on under there until this big reveal when the frost happened. And so we're going to have pumpkins for all the grandkids. I've got some mini pumpkins to sell at the market, but I have these blue Hubbard squash.
Whoa.
When you buy a can of pumpkin at the store to make a pumpkin pie, you're probably getting a blue Hubbard squash instead. And these things are like giant blue whales swimming around the garden.
Well, that's the thing about squash and pumpkins. They are very prolific. I mean, that's like bounty on top of bounty when you're talking about stuff you can grow.
Like, remember old Mother Hubbard? I think she could have lived in a blue Hubbard squash instead of a shoe. Because I don't know what I'm going to do. And when you do, you know, after the frost, they lay outside and they kind of cure in the sun. I roll them over and let them cure on the underside, because you'll want to pick a squash that has a really hard skin. But holy cow, I don't know how we're going to get a butcher knife through these. I think I'm going to have to drop one off the roof and let it bust on the sidewalk in order to harvest it. So winter squash are great. And winter squash are great for keeping in your house, in someplace cool, away from rodents, and you can have squash like that all winter long. That's why I think the natives grew them out here, and my ancestors grew them, because squash is really, really good for you. Really orange-colored squash has beta-carotene in it, just like carrots. Really, really good for your skin and your eyes.
So when you harvest the squash, do you harvest them ripe, or can they ripen after harvest?
Once that frost happens and they're outdoors and cured for, you know, a week, maybe even less than a week, go out there and sever them from their umbilical cords and bring them into the house, and they will further ripen. Now, I've had some that probably haven't properly cured. They'll get moldy. So you'll want to, just like with anything else in your root cellar, you just don't pile it up and let it go expecting it to survive. You know, potatoes, squash, whatever, apples, you want to lay them in a single layer and kind of go down and remove anything that looks like it's maybe getting soft or moldy, because that puts off that gas that will say to the rest of your produce down there, yeah, it's time to get rotten, kiddos. You don't want that. So you want to make sure that you're down there caring and keeping for your hard-earned produce, and it will reward you all winter long.
Yeah, they keep for months. I mean, almost the whole winter. As long as you're not shoving them all in one pile. They like that single layer.
Taking care of them. And then, of course, you know, like when we have Easter dinner, we usually use the last of our carrots and onions and potatoes for Easter dinner in the spring. So there is a way to keep this.
So if you go down to Sue's Root Cellar, note how I emphasize that, and you take a big Blue Hubbard squash, how do you prepare it? I mean, do you end up eating it with lots of butter or some maple syrup, or what do you do with it?
Okay, so I have a couple of really awesome things we do with squash. The first and foremost is the pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving, of course. And with a squash this big, you're going to have to probably process a little bit of it. Do not can squash. You cannot even pressure can squash. It's too dense. Mm. But you can cut those squash up, bake them in the oven until they're soft. Remove the seeds, of course. You can save the seeds and do art projects with them or make them to eat. Salty, you know, squash seeds are just like salty pumpkin seeds. But you soften that up and scrape it out, and you can puree it with your brand new Braun extra heavy duty 500 watt stick blender that I just got in the mail last week, and put that in freezer bags and put it in your freezer. Measure it out into recipe sizes. Like if you need 3 or 4 cups for a couple pies, you want to measure that out ahead of time. And then I thaw it out in a colander so a little bit of that extra water runs out. You can use it like that. But, oh, my gosh, if you can get your hands on a smaller squash than a Blue Hubbard, like a butternut or something like that, cut it. Uncle David's dessert squash is what I raise, and they're kind of a small green one. But you cut those in half around the equator, and then you scoop out the seeds, and you take like chorizo sausage and some sourdough bread cubes and some onion and stuff that and bake it right side up. And then you eat the squash with the stuffing. And oh my gosh, it is, that is one of my favorites.
That sounds great.
Oh, it is so good. There's something about that pork sausage and that squash combination that is just really compatible. It's, and I don't like sweet. My husband and I have to make 2 different pans of squash because he likes brown sugar and butter on his. I like butter and salt and pepper on mine. So those are the 2, you know, traditional cut it in cubes, bake it in the oven kind of thing. For
I like mine with blue cheese, but I also like maple
that would
syrup.
Be good.
So
I'll go there. Yes. I'll go there. Yeah.
Yes. And there's a woman, one of the my son's in-laws, or grandfather, grandmother's date or something, would bring this squash dish to Thanksgiving.
The things we're discovering about your family.
I was trying, like, how do I explain this, that her grandpa,
you need a chalkboard.
Grandpa Carol is dating Carol, and she'd bring this squash dish with maple syrup and nuts on the top of it. And we still haven't gotten that recipe from her yet. And we have to, because that is a delightful squash.
Well, you often remind us that the stuff that you grow in your garden, including squash, has health benefits.
Yes. And like I said before, anytime you're eating a winter squash, see, the difference is, you know, winter squashes are the hard-shelled ones. Summer squashes are zucchini, which is a dirty word where I come from, because we have zucchini the size of Ashley right now in our garage, and we don't know what to do with them. Oh my God. I'm not kidding you. They were under the squash leaves and we couldn't find them.
Oh,
and
dear.
Now they're like, so they won't last. Your summer squash won't store well. And while they have vitamins and stuff, anything that you have with that beautiful, rich orange color is going to be really healthy for you. Vitamin C, beta carotenes, antioxidants. It's the sugar that'll kill you. So you got to like not put so much sugar on your squash and try it, you know, and squash soup. Oh, squash and apple soup this time of year. That is so wonderful. There's a bazillion different recipes. Yes, and you can find a recipe that's just simply butter and onions and squash and apples and chicken stock. And there are some that have spices in them. You know, squash goes good with cinnamon and nutmeg and cardamom and things like that. And then you stir a little sour cream in that soup, and you'll hear your husband say, if someone had told me 5 years ago that I'd be eating squash soup, I'd have told him they were nuts, but it's one of his favorites. It's awesome.
And there's a lot of good vitamin C in there. It can even be a little bit of a metabolism helper.
Well, anything, you know, that's rich and thick that doesn't have a lot of sugar in it and or flour that turns to sugar is definitely more satisfying to eat than something that has more empty calories in it. So definitely. And squash is something that, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know why I'd want to eat that. But when I made it 1 year for Thanksgiving and had my all the relatives out, they took the leftovers home with them. Their kids took the leftover squash home with them because they loved it so much.
Mm. We could call squash sort of the North Dakota Mediterranean diet supplement because you know, when I think of the Mediterranean diet, that's a lot of vegetables and fish and stuff like that. Well, squash seems to fit that niche a bit in terms of being good for you and being bountiful as well.
Right. So lock your cars, people. I still have all that zucchini in my garage.
Yeah. When my doorbell rings, I check that camera on the doorbell. Yeah.
Zucchini gram.
Yes. It's not a Louisville slugger. It's a squash.
I kid you not. We have a wheelbarrow full of zucchini and about, I'd say 15 enormous pumpkins. Which don't forget that a pumpkin is still from the cucurbit family, and that also has all the health benefits in. So if you are not carving them up for Halloween, you most certainly can substitute a pumpkin for squash, and your family will never know the difference.
All right. We check in with Sue Belkin for Main Street Eats every week. Always a pleasure, Sue.
Oh, thank you, guys. It was great.